The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Our first article, What You Should Know About Assisted Living. When Charles Gold realized it might be time to explore alternative housing options for his 81-year-old mother and her husband, the couple had already tried in-home assistance at their condominium in Boca Raton, Florida. But some falls and other incidents had concerned Gold, and he wanted to be proactive, providing additional support for his folks before the need became critical. So Gold, 53, a communications executive in New York City, reached out to Candy Kahn, a senior living advisor with Oasis Senior Advisors in Parkland, Florida. Kahn holds the Certified Senior Advisor designation from the Society of Certified Senior Advisors. To earn that certification, she had to pass a rigorous exam and complete an ethics module. Kahn, who describes herself as a cross between a social worker and a real estate agent, helps older adults or their families simplify the transition to senior living by learning about their needs and preferences, providing personalized options and information, and even taking future residents on tours of facilities that match their needs. Typically, a senior housing community will pay a senior placement advisor's fee if the client decides to live there. A searchable database of certified senior advisors is available at portal.csa.us/locator. After touring three communities with his mom, Ann Kahn, Gold's opinion of assisted living facilities was transformed. "I thought they would be dreary, institutional, and sterile," he says. "But in many ways, they were the opposite. They felt like places I'd like to be when I'm a little older." Indeed, today's assisted living community is not your grandfather's nursing home. While communities vary depending on location and price point, many of the newer ones are glitzy and more closely resemble luxury hotels or condominiums than what you may typically think of as senior housing. Amenities such as pools, on-site salons, chef-prepared cuisine, and a full slate of activities are common, and pets are often welcome. Despite some initial reluctance to leave their home, Gold's mother and stepfather are now comfortable in their assisted living community, where they socialize, dine with new friends, and enjoy activities such as on-site art shows. There are new opportunities for them, and there's a lower stress level for me, Gold says. "Once they were in, I slept. It was the first time I had slept in a long time." Weigh in your options. Senior housing facilities come in several forms, each offering services that meet the specific needs of older adults. Independent living is for residents who don't require assistance. They live on their own, but they have access to amenities and services such as meals and transportation. Independent living facilities offer residents the opportunity to socialize and enjoy physical, cognitive, and artistic activities to help keep them engaged and active. Assisted living is for those who need some care, such as help with dressing, bathing, or medication management. Residents live in their own apartments, but have access to meals, assistance with personal care, and 24-hour supervision. Many facilities offer a full continuum of care, incorporating both independent and assisted living, and adding memory and skilled nursing care to the palette of services available to older adults. As the nation's population ages and demand for senior housing has grown, so has the number of assisted living units in the U.S. According to the latest data available from the National Investment Center for Seniors Housing and Care, also known as NIC, the number of assisted living units increased from 514,000 in 2013 to 714,300 in the fourth quarter of 2023. Rick Wigington, Chief Sales Officer for Brookdale Senior Living, a Nashville-based company that operated 647 senior communities in 41 states as of the end of 2024, says, the biggest mistake he sees assisted living residents make is waiting too long to move in. People bring services into the home to enable them to stay in that home longer, but they don't realize the cost of becoming more socially isolated, he says. If you're dependent on someone to clean your house, pick you up for transportation, or do food prep, you're making your life smaller. Wigington says that admission standards for assisted living vary from state to state. The process begins with an evaluation by a nurse or other medical professional to determine an older adult's current and future needs and whether the community they're considering can meet those needs. To qualify, a resident typically must require some type of assistance, whether it's with dispensing medication, bathing, getting dressed, or certain other activities. Assisted living offers older adults safety and security, personalized care, medication management, access to health care, nutritious meals, and peace of mind for both residents and their families. According to the National Institute on Aging, older adults are vulnerable to loneliness and social isolation, which can not only impact their well-being, but also increase their risk for heart disease, depression, and cognitive decline. But well-run assisted living communities can help minimize loneliness through classes, group entertainment opportunities, and communal dining. Family members should consider broaching the topic of senior housing when they notice that their loved ones are challenged by routine activities they used to do easily. Some older people become fearful of taking a bath because they might slip and fall, for example, says Wigington. When we realize that an older person is making different choices because of fear, that is the time to have a conversation. Paying for assisted living. Assisted living is not cheap. According to the NIC, the average monthly rent for assisted living in the fourth quarter of 2024 was $6,685 nationally, up from $4,504 a decade earlier. Wigington says that monthly fees for assisted living at Brookdale properties range from $3,500 to $7,000, depending on factors including the location, the size of the apartment, and the amenities available. The monthly fee quoted by an assisted living community is a baseline price only, so prospective residents need to ask about the pricing structure and the cost of additional services they may need, such as personal aides, salon services, and meals for guests. Many assisted living residents are cash payers, relying on savings or the proceeds from the sale of their home to cover their monthly payments. According to Lisa McCracken, the NIC's head of research and analytics, most residents stay an average of 2 to 2.5 years, so savings may be sufficient to cover cost. Long-term care insurance can also help pay for assisted living, but a policy may be expensive. Premiums vary depending on the amount of coverage as well as an insured person's age and health. According to William R. Dyes, president of Dyes Insurance Services in Boca Raton, Florida, a husband and wife, each 55 years old and in good health, should expect to pay between $5,018 and $6,325 per year for a joint long-term care policy that covers up to $165,000 and comes with an inflation rider that helps protect against rising cost. Generally, the older you are when you buy the policy, the higher the premium will be. If a couple are both 65 years old and in good health, when they purchase a policy, for example, the annual premium would range from $7,137 to $12,250 for similar coverage, depending on the insurance company issuing the policy. Dye says that a long-term care policy will kick in only when a health care provider determines that someone needs assistance with at least two activities of daily living or has a severe cognitive impairment. The six essential activities of daily living include bathing, dressing, eating, getting in and out of bed or a chair, using the toilet, and controlling bladder and bowel functions, according to the National Institutes of Health. Although Medicare covers short-term care in a skilled nursing facility, it does not cover the cost of assisted living. Similarly, according to the National Council on Aging, Medicaid does not cover the room and board portion of assisted living expenses, but many states offer Medicaid waiver programs that can help cover other assisted living costs for those who are eligible. And finding the right community. Besides evaluating whether the communities you're considering fit into your budget, you should take other steps to settle on the best choice. Find out which agency in your state regulates assisted living facilities and check its website, which will likely provide a treasure trove of information, including state inspection reports, which can be very telling. Tour each facility multiple times at different times of the day. Make sure the facility is clean and ask to have a meal or two. Review the dining policies as well. Do residents have assigned seating and a designated time to dine, or can they eat anytime? Are the menus varied, with options suitable for people with dietary restrictions? Is there a dress code for dinner? You'll want to find a community that's comparable with your loved one's lifestyle. While you're touring, talk to residents and staff, and not just to people suggested by the employee leading the tour. Ask residents whether they are happy and what surprised them the most after they moved in. Find out how long employees have been at the facility. Lots of turnover may indicate management issues, but consistent staffing will help ensure that employees get to know residents and can provide personalized care. Meet with the executive director of the community, as well as the director of nursing, who oversees the medical care of residents. Find out whether the facility has programs to integrate your loved one into the social fabric of the community. Wigington says that Brookdale communities map out the first 90 days for new residents to help them meet new people and get familiar with the activities available to them. Other communities have ambassadors to introduce new residents to others and help ensure they are comfortable in their new surroundings. Ask whether the community allows prospective residents to have a trial or respite stay, a weekend to get a feel for the community, helping you to decide whether it's the right fit or not. Louis Serrano, president and CEO of Sunshine Retirement Living, which operates 38 senior communities, advises older adults to consider all types of facilities. Don't just rely on the brand new community that looks like a fantastic hotel, he says. You may be better off in a community that is not as elegant, but has devoted employees who really care about you. Perhaps the best advice is to be proactive. You may not be ready today for assisted living, but come the time when you lose a spouse, you're living on your own, and you start to feel lonely, or you've fallen a couple of times, those are not the times to be making decisions, says the NIC's McCracken. Our next article, should you pay off your mortgage when you retire? It's a question of the math as well as your peace of mind. This article by Sandra Block. New retirees face a host of choices. Where's the best place to volunteer? Is this a good time to launch a side hustle? Should I adopt a rescue dog? But a growing number of retirees are contemplating a more consequential decision, whether they should pay off their mortgage. More than 40% of homeowners ages 65 to 79 have a mortgage on their primary residence. That's up from 24% in 1989, according to a 2022 survey by Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing. During this period, the median mortgage debt rose from $21,000 to $110,000. Both of those figures are in 2022 dollars. The median monthly mortgage payment for older adults was $1,470 in 2022, according to the study. That's a significant monthly expense, and eliminating it frees up money for other expenses. In the past, retiring with a paid-off mortgage was a smart and worthwhile goal. If your interest rate was 6% or higher, for example, paying off your mortgage provided significant savings on interest. But many current retirees and near retirees took out mortgages or refinanced existing loans in 2020 and 2021, when average rates on 30-year fixed-rate mortgages fell as low as 2.7%. Meanwhile, a series of increases in short-term interest rates launched by the Federal Reserve in March of 2022 boosted the return savers could earn on money market funds and bank savings accounts. Although the Fed has paused rate hikes and made cuts totaling 1 percentage point in 2024, you can still earn 4% or more in a high-yield bank savings account. That means retirees could come out ahead by keeping their low-interest mortgage and investing the money they would otherwise use to pay it off. And as counterintuitive as it may sound, paying off your mortgage could increase the risk that you'll run out of money in your later years. Susan Mitcheltree, a certified financial planner with Berman McAleer in Baltimore, offers this example. Suppose you have $300,000 in a high-yield savings account earning 4% interest and a $300,000 mortgage with a 3% fixed rate. Paying off the mortgage would save $9,000 in interest over a 12-month period. But leaving the money in the savings account would generate $12,000 in interest before taxes. David Haas, a CFP in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, recently met with a client who plans to retire next year and has an employer-subsidized mortgage with an ultra-low fixed rate of 1.5%. When the client asked him whether he thought he should pay off the mortgage, Haas strongly advised against it. With money market and bank accounts paying 4% at no risk, why do you want to pay it back, he asked. The benefits of keeping a low-interest mortgage are magnified if you deduct the interest on your tax return, which lowers the effective interest rate. However, you must itemize to get this deduction, and because the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act nearly doubled the standard deduction, the majority of taxpayers, particularly older adults, no longer itemize. The individual tax provisions of the TCJA are scheduled to expire at the end of the year, but the Republican-controlled Congress has vowed to extend them. In addition to the potential for higher returns, there are other factors to consider before paying off low-interest mortgage. The first is cash flow. Once you've paid off your mortgage, you can't get the money back, and borrowing against your home may be more difficult after you've retired because you're no longer earning income. Before withdrawing a lump sum to pay off your mortgage, make sure you have enough in a low-risk savings account to cover your expenses and potential emergencies for at least 2 years. Otherwise, you may be forced to sell investments to pay the bills, and that could inflict permanent damage on your portfolio if you take the withdrawals in the down market. Taxes. Withdrawing a large amount of money from a traditional IRA or 401k plan could trigger a significant tax bill, diluting the potential savings from a paid-off mortgage. Likewise, withdrawals from a taxable brokerage account could stick you with capital gains taxes, which range from 0% to 20% on long-term gains. And your plans to sell. If you expect to downsize after you retire, there are several advantages to keeping your mortgage. Once you sell your home, you can use the proceeds to pay off the loan. In the meantime, you can use your savings to make a large down payment on a new home, which will reduce the amount you'll need to borrow. That's particularly important now that mortgage rates have risen to around 7%. You can also use the money to pay for other expenses connected to purchasing a new home. And peace of mind. Many people throw a party when they retire their mortgage. If you have sufficient cash reserves to pay off your mortgage, the psychological benefit of owning your home may outweigh the potential higher return you could generate by investing the money. Clark Randall, a CFP in Dallas, says one of his clients asked 3 years in a row whether he should pay off his mortgage, and each time Randall advised that he would earn higher returns by investing the money. Finally, I realized he just did not want to keep his mortgage, so I recommended he pay it off, Randall says. Now, he is comfortably retired, debt-free, and happy. Should near-retirees pay off their mortgage? If you're getting close to retirement, you may also have envisioned holding a mortgage-burning party with family and friends. And you may have heard from financial experts that it's important to retire debt-free. But if you have a low-interest mortgage, there may be more effective ways to deploy your savings and your earned income. First, take a hard look at your savings, says Lindsay Theodore, a CFP and senior manager of thought leadership at T. Rowe Price. In 2025, workers between the ages of 60 and 63 can contribute an additional $11,250 in catch-up contributions to their 401k plans for a total contribution of $34,750. Once you retire, you lose the opportunity to contribute to a tax-advantaged workplace account. So, it's important to make the most of it now. You should also have 3 to 6 months' worth of expenses in an emergency fund. And, if you have other debt with higher interest rates, extra cash should be used to pay off those debts first. Although taking a lump sum from your investments to pay off your mortgage will increase your home equity and reduce your debt in retirement, It will decrease your available cash and reduce compound growth in your investments. If you have a low-interest mortgage, it's better to have more liquidity and growth potential because you can always use those balances to pay off the mortgage, she says. Now that money market funds are paying 4%, you can get a reasonable return even if you aren't investing aggressively. If you're determined to retire debt-free and have sufficient cash flow after contributing to your retirement plan and funding your emergency account, consider accelerating your mortgage payoff by making biweekly payments. This will reduce the amount you pay in interest and shorten the life of the loan while enabling the rest of your savings to continue to grow. Bankrate provides a calculator you can use to estimate how quickly you can retire your mortgage and the amount of interest you'll save by switching to biweekly payments. If you want more flexibility, make an extra monthly payment each year instead. That way, you'll have the option of using the funds for other purposes. And as we wrap up our episode today, here's an interesting article. The feds are nixing paper checks. President Trump recently signed an executive order calling on the federal government to phase out the use of paper checks for all its disbursements, including tax refunds and Social Security payments, by September 30th. According to the order, the Trump administration aims to modernize how the government handles money, switching from old-fashioned paper-based payments to fast, secure electronic payments. The order also notes that paper-based payments impose unnecessary costs and are vulnerable to fraud, including mail theft. Government departments and agencies will be required to issue disbursement via electronic funds transfer or EFT methods, such as direct deposits, debit or credit card payments, digital wallets, and real-time transfers. Payments made to the federal government, such as tax fees, fines, and loans, will also have to be done electronically. There are some limited exceptions to the rule. Individuals who don't have access to banking services, for example, may still be eligible to receive paper checks, according to the White House order. And we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.